Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 16 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 30 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information or to make a donation to help keep this podcast going strong. Thank you.
Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. It is Wednesday, August 17th, 2016, and we are the team from RainbowWeddingNetwork.com. I'm one of the founders, Mary Ann Pischel. My partner and wife, he is here, Cindy.
Hello.
Cindy Sproul, whose birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right.
We have Ira Adams here as well.
Hello, everyone.
And Lauren Stockard is on board today, too.
Howdy.
So the four of us from your friendly neighborhood Rainbow Wedding Network team are here to inform and provide insights into the LGBT wedding market. For our first segment today, we'll be talking about why and how to market your wedding-related business to the LGBT community, and also why couples should continue to be supporting LGBT-specific events. Our second segment, speaking a little bit more directly to the couples, as we usually do on our podcast, we'll be talking about what not to do at a wedding. And that information will be good for couples as well as their guests. And then segment three today is really fun. I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's insights about eco-friendly wedding tips.
Yeah.
So lots of fun.
Lots of fun
ahead today. Lots of diverse thoughts and insights, as I said. So we will get started talking about how and why to market your business to this niche. That is the LGBT wedding market.
Sounds great. Well, we can start with a why if you want. There's so many whys.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's like, where do you begin with whys? There's lots of whys. And I was thinking about this last night, thinking, you know, why? Why would you want to do this? Why? so much of it is common sense. Right? I mean, it's a strong community. We're a very strong community. We are very conscious where we spend our dollars. I think anybody who is probably in their 20s, 30s, 40s, we were all, not trained is the wrong word, but we've all become so aware of where to even spend our money on our everyday purchases, from gasoline to Target to, you know, like, it's been easier for us, if you are LGBT, that you can look on websites like HRC and things like that, and they talk about the index on companies on how LGBT friendly they are, from this hotel versus that hotel,
right.
And you know,
yeah, as a minority, the last many decades we've gotten used to doing our homework whenever possible.
Correct.
And it's gotten easier with the internet for sure.
Lot easier.
It used to be you'd get the paper,
right?
You know, the gay yellow pages as a yellow pages book, or the, you know, those little secret pamphlets we all had.
Yep.
And that's a joke, people. I do remember some pamphlets.
But
some people who are straight think there is some magical.
Yeah, we don't have
directory,
a handshake or anything,
you know,
like that.
Which there's not. But we did used to get the printed yellow pages and stuff.
Right.
Absolutely get guidance.
And it wasn't
on where
just like local businesses, like those yellow pages. Of course, they were local businesses, but it was also national.
Yes.
Like I said, I mean, I remember like picking certain gas stations when you would fill up. There's gas stations on every corner in Atlanta. You went to this one because you knew that particular company was LGBT friendly.
And you would base it on local knowledge too,
right.
Not just what was published, but because you knew the owner of that gas station was gay friendly, or, you know.
Right, exactly. So we are a savvy community when it comes to spending our dollars. We understand the value of spending our dollars appropriately.
And why?
And why
do we do that? Because if we support businesses that support equality, we are forwarding the cause that much further.
That's right. And I think we're, you know, we're not only tech savvy, we are, you know, in some statistics we are, you know, our education level is higher. We are, I don't know if we could say this anymore, but LGBT families have become a big boom, but, you know, we used to be called the double income, no kids.
Right, and that's not necessarily true,
not
as
we necessarily
know.
The case.
Most LGBT couples want to have kids,
right.
Or do already.
But we do have more disposable income. We love our electronics. We love our trendy products. We also will pay more for quality, whether that's a service or a product. We understand those values. We understand working with companies that offer a quality service. I think we've become extremely savvy with planning for our weddings. Most LGBT couples spend their own dollars for their weddings. We don't have a parent that necessarily pays for the wedding. So we really do understand the concept of making sure we hire LGBT-friendly businesses. So it's a lot of plus with our community. Plus, we're fun people. We're great. It's why. It's a good reason to.
I hear a lot of exhibitors at our LGBT wedding expos say that they love to do gay weddings because they are really fun. I point that to the authenticity,
mm-hmm.
because the LGBT community has waited so long for marriage rights that our ceremonies tend to be extremely authentic, customized.
Right.
And there's such a celebratory tone because we're still just so truly grateful to have the opportunity. So I think as a wedding professional, that side is a good reason too, because it's fun. It's fun to work with gay and lesbian couples.
And a lot of our vendors have been providing these services forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might have been underground, or maybe they advertise in those yellow pages or those pamphlets.
Right.
But that's a great reason why to continue to advertise, or, you know, make sure that your business is out there in front of LGBT couples. They've been doing this forever.
Right, yeah, they believe in the cause.
They believe in the cause, yes, and it's, you know, something near to dear to their hearts, too.
I think the big why, if you are a wedding-related company, and especially if you're small mom and pop, is the dollars and cents.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the wedding industry is fairly stagnant when it comes to how much money people spend on weddings in this country every year. In times of war, in times of peace, the number doesn't jump much. In times of population booms, it's sort of a similar number. But remember our favorite Forbes quote,
mm-hmm.
from back in the day, back in 2004, they did a quote saying that if marriage was legalized nationally then, and this was on the heels of the legislation enacting marriage rights in Massachusetts, Forbes did this study, and they said it would add $16.8 billion to the national wedding industry. So that is a boon that you don't usually see, that kind of spike in the wedding industry. So in terms of dollars and cents, it's a really good reason as a wedding professional to target this niche.
Absolutely. And also, you know, once we pass marriage equality, now we're a year out with marriage equality, I think there's been there's clearly have been some pushback, and there's been some backlash with, you know, I think we talked about this before, over 200 pieces of legislation has been attempted to be passed, where there's in some areas it's the religious exemption. I think for a lot of couples, and I think we've seen this year with our expos, is our couples are really focused when they come into our events to hire the people that are there, because they do know that there's all this kind of underlying pushback with having marriage equality. And they're too afraid now to turn around and leave our expos and to go cold call businesses, because I think with the backlash of these anti-LGBT laws, they're too afraid of what they're going to find on the other end of the phone. And so in some aspect, I think we're seeing kind of what it was like 8 years ago or 5 years ago.
Sure, I think the transition is going to take a little time.
Yeah, it's a little
people
bumpy.
People understand that.
It's a little bumpy.
Yeah.
But that's also a reason why, if a business is out there that is LGBT friendly, right now this is a great time to advertise, because we are a little scared to just pick up the phone locally and call photographers and DJs.
Well, and I think couples still, because of those reasons, see the necessity to stay committed to finding LGBT-friendly wedding professionals.
Yes.
And investing, you know, whether it's $3,000 for your photographer or $5,000 for your reception venue or $200 for this package or that, you know, investing those dollars with a wedding professional who's gay-friendly actually makes a difference.
Yeah.
I think you guys have hit the nail on the head, too. I remember speaking to a vendor actually earlier this week who was commenting on, well, can't gay couples just go into any bridal show? But the great thing about one of our events or any gay-specific event is that couples can come in and feel comfortable knowing when they approach a vendor, they're not going to have to deal with that question. Mm-hmm. It's about planning their special day, the joy of the occasion, and not trying to explain yourself to someone who may not necessarily understand or even agree. So it's good to have that uncomfortableness taken away.
Mm-hmm. And it's taken away automatically. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. When you walk up to that exhibitor table, there isn't the question, well, who's the bride? Or are you helping plan his wedding? You know, it goes right to, oh, great, you're getting married. How can I help? And so that's all just alleviated. And so mm-hmm. the LGBT-specific events are still vital and still very much needed.
I was going to say, if you're a business owner and you think, well, it's a year out. I mean, now it's normal. It's not.
Right.
There's nothing normal about LGBT.
It is normal.
It's normal.
But it's not mainstream.
It's not.
No. In the way
right.
that.
We still have bumps.
I go back all the time to, we passed, you know, the Supreme Court passed interracial marriage back in the 60s, and that still is an issue for many business professionals, and I think many couples will tell you they still encounter awkwardness, if not outright discrimination in our country mm-hmm. still today. So this is, we're not going to just have LGBT marriage rights suddenly just normalized into our society today or tomorrow. This is a long road.
Right.
Yes. And that's not necessarily a bad thing exactly. We're on the road to more equal rights, which is wonderful. But what mm-hmm. it does speak to is that as a wedding professional, now is a grand opportunity to build your business in a great way. The other quick thing to note about why, with regard to targeting this niche, is a lot of times gay and lesbian couples choose to marry in the shoulder months of the year.
Yes, yes.
They don't necessarily have to get married in the middle of June. A lot of times they want to marry more in the fall months because they want to have a honeymoon, like a beach honeymoon, and they don't necessarily have to go in the summertime. They're okay going in the shoulder months when maybe it's less busy.
Right.
You know, they can be a little more savvy with their travel plans. They're also, again, because they're building very customized, authentically feeling weddings, which I know everybody does, but a lot of times gay and lesbian couples take a lot of different aspects into consideration, and sometimes, you know, that means that they're not just going to stay true to a high summer date because it's easier for guests to come or whatever. They might choose the January date when they had their first date together because it means that to them. You know,
right. So emotionally. If you're a business owner.
So as a business owner, you might be able to fill in some of those dates you don't necessarily usually book
right.
during the year mm-hmm. if you target this niche.
Yep.
One last thing to add on the why, too, is gay couples are, and the gay community in general, don't easily forget someone who stood by them. The word's going to spread, and it's building your brand so that more couples are going to know, because those couples are going to talk.
Mm-hmm. We are a loyal bunch, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And when you're there, if you're a photographer, DJ, caterer, and you're there at an LGBT wedding, well, guess what? There's probably a lot of people in the audience at that wedding
absolutely.
that are thinking about getting married, and they see you there and see how you interact with the couples and the family and everything. Chances are that's great exposure right there as well.
Awesome. Well, lots of reasons why to market your business to the LGBT target. Now let's talk about how. Mm. How do you do it? Let's make some money, right? Let's build some connections. of course, It's all about relationships, as we've touched on, and you treat your gay and lesbian clients with that respect and that joyfulness, and bring your experience to the table as a wedding professional. Those referrals will definitely roll in.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you do it? How do you make those initial contacts with gay and lesbian couples? One thing I want to mention as a reference point, I think is important. Just because every gay and lesbian client who walks through your door brings this knowledge with them. And so as a wedding professional, you sort of have to keep in mind the context. You know, we have had full marriage equality now for this past year. But before that, it was a bumpy road. Back when we started Rainbow Wedding Network, for instance, 16 years ago, there were zero states that offered full marriage equality. There was Vermont, which provided civil unions, and there were definitely some couples from across the country going to Vermont to right. have a civil union, and then they'd go back home, and at least they had that piece of paper. It wasn't right. recognized in their state, but they had that piece of documentation showing their intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but commitment ceremonies, even before Vermont in this country, even before Massachusetts was our first state enacting full marriage rights, couples did have commitment ceremonies.
Yes.
Even beyond our country, before the United States was formed, there were gay and lesbian people in Native American societies and societies throughout history who have made commitments to one another. This is not just a new fad.
Right.
And I wanted to point that out as a reference point, because on occasion I will run across a business owner or just a person who thinks that this is kind of a new thing. It's not. It's been going on forever. But marriage equality in our country is a relatively new thing. So when those clients come through your door, keep in mind that context as right. you begin to work with them and start your dialogues with them. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And now that, you know, we are a year out, because
yeah.
for you, those of you who don't know, out there, of course, about a year ago, June 26, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision in Obergefell versus Hodges that all gay couples have the right to marry. And now couples are starting to adapt to that idea. More couples who've been waiting for years are starting to realize, hey, this is something I can do. We're not waiting on the back and forth. We're not going to have a ceremony and have that right taken away from us. Now is the perfect time to start to engage this market. If you've been waiting on it, you've been thinking about it, you haven't really made that many motions. And like Miriam was saying earlier, as far back as 2004, Forbes estimated an additional $16.8 billion could be infused into the wedding market if same-sex marriage was legalized at that point. So you can imagine...
That's every year.
And
yeah.
that's every
with a B,
year.
With yeah. a billion.
So that is an amazing number, and you can imagine how much that number has grown today as more and more couples start to have ceremonies who can now legally marry across the country. And one of the things I wanted to touch on, and one of the great ways here at Rainbow Wedding Network that we can offer for you to reach out to the market, is at our Gay and Lesbian Wedding Expos, which
Woo-hoo!
We've been producing
yep.
across the country since 2003. And what better way to be able to promote your services to a client than to be able to speak face-to-face? It's personal. It's a great way to engage your audience. And we produce these events. I think we've done almost 170 now.
Yes.
Across the country. And I think there are a few gray hairs around here from all the events, traveling every single weekend. But we continue to produce about 30 events on average around the country each year. And this is a great way to again, engage this market. And looking at some of the statistics, of course, many of our couples are middle of the road. We do have couples who have higher-end ceremonies, $100,000 or $200,000. But for the most part, we found that couples are spending anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 on their ceremonies. And if you estimate that conservatively, even at just 150 couples at our events, and most of our events average a little closer to 300 attendees, we've already infused over $2.25 million into the local market where we're holding these
mm-hmm.
events.
It's a lot of money going through that ballroom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I sit there sometimes and look through the ballroom and I think, wow, that's a lot of money that's going to be exchanging hands. right in the middle of our ballroom. And like you were saying, it's for the business, it's such a great way to meet these couples. It's such a great way to meet our community and meet the couples, and for the couples to feel welcomed and honored, and, you know, to get that, wow, you're getting married, you know, what's your date, and, you know, and just get that excitement. It's such a great atmosphere. I mean, there's times at our expos, you just want to stand there and cry. It's like, well, it's so awesome that these people are meeting each other with such ease and comfort and you know.
And excitement. The exhibitors are genuinely thrilled to be there.
Yes.
And not just because they want to meet new clients, but because they support the issue of equality.
Yes.
And then the couples, of course, many still come in confounded that we even have marriage rights. They never thought they'd live to see the day.
Right.
And so you've got that vibe of just true gratitude and amazement and awe. And mm-hmm. you put that mix together in a very welcoming, casual atmosphere.
Right.
And yet it's elegant.
Yep.
It's just fun and thrilling and really, it just catches your heart.
It's simple in a way, but it is so powerful.
Yes.
You know, it's not some fluffy thing that we're trying to fluff it up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to with that kind of feel.
Yeah, but that foundation, you don't have to add fluff.
You
it's
don't
all
have to
there
add,
already.
It's there already, yeah. Yes. And I think the couples, I think they appreciate that it's not fluff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think the businesses love that, of course, because they're there to meet the couples, and the couples are there to... But you're right, it's so much money that could spread around that ballroom. And if you're a business owner that's even thought about tapping into this market, try one of our shows. You will be so amazed, because our shows are so different than the big, huge bridal fairs where you feel like you're one of 300. I talked to a vendor in Houston, somebody who's going to be at our Houston show, and he said one of the Houston bridal shows is over 700 businesses.
Whoa!
Can you imagine standing in the big convention center and having 700 businesses? That's insane. That's insane. And how are you seen? You know, how are you actually seen in that type of environment?
That's a lot of competition. You're also competing for attention among fashion shows, giveaways, presentations, all these other things going on. And I think sometimes, and you guys have said as well, the word wedding expo is almost misleading about our events, because they are more of a boutique style event. They're very intimate. And time and again, we hear from our vendors just how different, how unique these events are, because couples come in with a sense of gratitude. I know it sounds weird, but our couples haven't had the opportunity to build these lofty expectations, I think, sometimes heterosexual couples have. So they're really grateful, looking to be led a little bit more when they're going into the event. And another great thing about our events, of course, we cap each vendor category. We want to ensure a good balance for businesses who participate and a good variety for couples who come in, because that makes more sense for couples coming in to be able to find all the resources they're looking for. And as I was mentioning, another great thing is the fact that we keep our events extremely affordable.
Yes.
It's on average about $300 to exhibit at one of our events. You're not spending $1,000 to come in and compete with 700 other businesses.
Right.
We've only got about 25 to 30 businesses on average at our events, and we're capping the categories as well to ensure good balance for your business. So it's would be crazy not to give it a try. It's a great opportunity. It's a no-brainer.
Yes. And we have really positive feedback from the businesses that have joined us too. So
that is a great how to tap into the market. Absolutely. And our full event calendar is online at rainbowweddingnetwork.com. Our sister site, samelovesamerights.com, which is specifically devoted to our national tour of LGBT wedding expos. Usually on our podcast, we don't plug ourselves so shamelessly. but I think it's important for listeners to know that our resource is available and exactly who we are. There are a few more LGBT wedding expo producers popping up. And I think it's really important for people to do a little bit of homework.
Yes.
And find out which shows are being produced by which organization, so that they can make the best decision with regard to which ones to participate in. As Ira just mentioned, you know, our average cost is $300 to $350 for a booth. Of course, we have to adjust that sometimes based on the local area and the marketing costs, but they never go over $375 for a table at our mm-hmm. shows. And They don't need to. So right. when you are choosing to participate in an LGBT-specific event and the cost seems exorbitant, think twice about it. Because, again, there's fluff involved mm-hmm. in some events that's just extraneous. It's not that necessary. But, you know, participating is important, and it is great to get out there and show your support of equality, whether it is our event or it is a Pride event or what have you. So thank you for considering supporting the community in that way. Absolutely. But there are other ways to tap into the LGBT wedding market that we wanted to touch on as well. As Cindy mentioned before, referrals work very well, so don't be shy to request that of your new gay and lesbian clients. Say, hey, please pass my name on. You know, if you know other couples mm-hmm. planning a wedding, please do pass my name on. You know, let them pull your logo or give them a banner so they can post it on social media. If they're excited about working with you as their wedding DJ, make it easy for them to pass the word on. Because mm-hmm. A lot of couples get so caught up in planning their own wedding, they forget. Oh, yeah, I know this other couple that's planning right now, and I need to let them know I found this great DJ. So help them make those connections easily. That's a good way to make the most of your new clients. And again, keep in mind, for decades, we've communicated a lot through grassroots methods. Yes. So we're good at it. But sometimes, you know, as a couple planning a wedding, you need those little reminders to make the most of it. Let's see. The other great thing to do is some grassroots marketing of your own.
Right.
Which is to take the steps such as reach out to your local gay and lesbian community center. There may be one in your city. There may be one in the city next door. There may be one in a few of the cities around you. If you can, go ahead and take a trip over. Give them a call. Check out their website. Find out what's going on. Find out how you can get involved. It may be as simple as going over and posting a flyer on the community board there and doing that every couple of months so your flyer stays up. It may be that they have some activities that you can get involved in as a sponsor, for instance, and they may be low cost or no cost. For instance, there's a lot of silent auctions that go on mm-hmm. with LGBT events like the gay bingo night.
Right.
And you might be able to sponsor something for the silent auction, such as, you know, a free engagement session if you're a photographer, or, you know, you might be able to sponsor the floral arrangements at gay bingo night or at the dance that's going on or whatever. So there may be creative ways for you to get your business card and your business in front of an audience that you're targeting by just connecting to the local community center. And also, of course, keep your eye on the local LGBT newspaper, if that is still in print or just digital. There's advertising rates and advertising means and methods there. There's also other LGBT-specific groups like PFLAG groups, parents and families, you know, parenting groups, LGBT youth hostels, that sort of thing. So you may find yourself being able to get really creative with how to do some outreach and, again, get your business in front of people.
And if you're in a larger city, most of that will be available.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a smaller city, maybe not, but if you're in a large city, absolutely. You will find all of that, all of those organizations, community centers, all of that.
Yeah, and supporting your local LGBT youth hostel may not lead directly to wedding clients, but by getting yourself out there as a supporter of the community, those wedding couples will see you and get to know your brand, and they'll get to trust you. And that's how you build your business longer term with this community.
Yep.
Yes. And online presence is essential, of course, as well. And do take a look at your own website and make sure it's welcoming. If you are targeting this niche, as with any niche market, if you're targeting the LGBT community and you're a wedding-related business and all the imagery on your website is heterosexual couples, you might want to rethink that.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to make sure your language says, welcoming to all couples, or you've got a rainbow flag somewhere on your website, or you join our online directory at Rainbow Wedding Network and you get a badge so that you can post that on your website. You've got to think this through and definitely build your entire marketing portfolio based on the targets that you have yes. for building your business.
Yeah, it's time to come out of the closet.
Yeah, as a supporter.
As a supporter. We've all had to do it. It's not hard. And it's time to come out of the closet as a supporter and put that rainbow flag on your website. I mean, I understand some photographers may not have... You know, maybe LGBT couples don't want you to put their... Maybe you've only photographed one couple and they really don't want their photographs to be on your website. But put up a rainbow flag. Put up... If you advertise with us, we'll send you a proud, member banner that you can post on that you're LGBT friendly. Like Marianne's saying, change the language. That we see those things. Those are code words. In our, we don't have the secret handshake, but we do know the code words. And when we see that little rainbow flag... You know, on your website and saying that you're inclusive, you know, all
and
couples
are
welcome.
And lots of businesses post that, you know, they are experienced with Indian weddings. They are experienced with traditional Jewish weddings. So this is just another thing to add.
Another thing to add.
Experienced with LGBT weddings.
And it's okay to add it.
Yeah.
10 years ago, that was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to add that because I might lose clients. We've heard that a lot, right. You know, 10 years ago. Now it's time.
Now it's time. We
now
have a Supreme Court decision behind it.
That's
it's
right.
Time.
It's okay.
Another great way to engage the gay and lesbian community online, and what more powerful way in this day and age than social media?
Yeah, definitely.
Resources like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, if you can connect with the local gay and lesbian community center or the local LGBT publication, or maybe there's a softball league or other community groups that you can engage with on Facebook. You might not necessarily want to just go friend them and throw something on their wall, but have a conversation. That's another great way to just get your name out there. You might even be able to consider sponsoring the local league, like Marianne's mentioned a little bit earlier, and get that to be promoted through Facebook, which is a great tool, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or even a tweet on Twitter. There are lots of great ways to get your name out there through social media by engaging these community groups, too.
That's right.
Absolutely. And it is about building a brand, as it is with any marketing plan. So you got to commit to it, and you've got to be thorough. You can't just... throw money into one online LGBT directory and expect the phone to ring.
Yes.
You have to build your brand, you know, in any...
And that was perfect timing for the phone
to
ring.
The phone.
How
did
it
you
know?
That was awesome. So you have to really commit to it. And you, I can't stress that enough because there are some businesses who aren't... willing to consider just how broad it is, how broad an endeavor it is to market your business successfully to whatever target you're wanting to reach.
Yeah, chances
and
are the LGBT community
job,
is not going to put you into retirement.
Right, right.
But so you can't just throw it up on a site and walk away and expect that, like you're saying, that you know my retirement is down the road perfectly set. It's just like with any other marketing, but you have to stay engaged with it.
You have to stay engaged, and with social media in particular, as Iris mentioning, you have to continue to stay engaged
yes,
over time
absolutely.
To truly remain relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We see right through that.
All right.
The
so
curse
just
of the digital age.
That's right. A quick wrap-up. We've talked about why to market your business to the LGBT target and how and some of the main ways to reach this community is grassroots methods, social networking, your online presence, making sure it is welcoming to the LGBT clients you're seeking. Traditional advertising, we didn't mention very much, but if you diversify that, traditional advertising routes can still work. But again, you want to make sure that language is welcoming to the LGBT clients that you're looking for. Community-based advertising, exhibiting face-to-face at an expo like one of ours so that you do make those direct connections with people and not just couples, but other businesses who are gay-friendly so that you can continue to expand your brand out there as being a gay-friendly company that has experience and is truly targeting this market. All right, good luck and have fun continuing to build your business. Our next segment is going to be what not to do at a wedding, and then we're going to follow that up with ways to be environmentally friendly with your wedding. So we will talk about those shortly. First of all, though, I do want to mention one of our sponsors of today's podcast. So, one of the proud sponsors of today's podcast is Larry Burroughs Photography. Based in Chicago, Larry is a talented photographer with a sharp eye. More than that, his warm-hearted and fun-loving personality will help any couple feel at ease and relaxed in front of the camera. An active, straight but not narrow advocate of equal rights, Larry Burroughs has enthusiastically supported the LGBTQ community for many years and has been a dedicated participant with the annual Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expo in Chicago since 2009. We highly recommend his services. Check him out online at Larry Burroughs Photography. All right, our second segment today for our podcast is what not to do at a wedding. Yeah. We know you've always thought about this question secretly, so now we're going to answer it. And to start us off, we're going to let Lauren tell us some of her favorite ideas about what not to do at a wedding.
Oh, yeah. So these are things that you want to keep in mind, sort of like wedding etiquette. So, you know, one big thing that I always see is everyone wanting to play photographer at the wedding. Which is great. You want to get pictures, but, you know, the couple has hired a photographer, so they, you know, kind of want you to be able to chill out and relax, you know, so you don't want to get in their photographer's way. I can't tell you how many people will be sitting, you know, standing in the middle of the aisle as they're saying I do, trying to snap a shot, but, you know, you're getting in the way of the professional photographer. Another thing with your phones is just don't text while you're watching the wedding, the ceremony. Yeah, because couples don't want to look back at their wedding pictures and see everyone on their phone staring at their screen and not paying attention to what's happening.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You have to mention that more and more these days. That's so funny.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, if you're the couple getting married, maybe think about having a sign. No texting while watching the ceremony.
I could imagine a company now developing this beautiful, like, basket. It's the cell phone basket, right? Maybe it's in the wedding colors and it gets passed around. Everybody has to drop their cell phone when they
walk. It has a chalkboard sign that says, time for human interaction.
Yeah. Right. You don't have to catch them all right now.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Pokemon free zone.
Yeah. This is not a Pokemon Go stop.
Right. Unless that's your thing. You can make it a Pokemon Go stop. But
we're probably going to see some. Yeah, we'll probably see some wedding theme, you know, theme weddings based on Pokemon.
Right. Oh, yeah. So some other things to think about, don't litter. So if you have trash, find a trash can, or at least sit it on the table. You don't need to throw it on the ground or the floor, you know, wherever. Just be responsible with your trash. Don't arrive late. So if you're going to the ceremony, be on time. And if you get there late, you miss the ceremony. Just go to the reception. You don't want to walk in as the couple is saying, I do, and everybody turned to look at you. Yeah. Or if the couple, you know, if everyone's waiting for the couple to walk down the aisle, everyone turns around and it's you. So just avoid that altogether. If you're late, you're late. You miss the ceremony. You made the effort of trying to be there, so that's what really matters. And you're going to party with them at the reception. So also, don't bring a guest if you already RSVP'd for yourself. So if you already put down that it's just going to be you, then it's just you. The couple has already paid for you and not for someone else. So you don't want to surprise them. And at the reception, if it's assigned seating, sit in your assigned seat. Yes. I have been to weddings where people will, I'll just trade. But then, you know, Great Aunt Bertha is sitting next to Cousin Tom and there's all this drama. The couple has put a lot of time and energy into creating that perfect seating plan to avoid drama. So you don't want to mess that up.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you definitely don't. Definitely there's not enough wine in the world.
No, there's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. And another huge no-no, don't get hammered.
Oh.
You want to drink, you want to have a good time, but you don't want to be throwing up in the bushes. So, you know, have your good time, but maybe know your limit. So if you're a 4-drink kind of person, you know, that 5th drink you get to the blackout phase, maybe just stick to your 4 drinks.
That's why we love Lauren.
Good advice. Just telling it like it is.
That's right. There's no sugar. I love that.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
because then Great Aunt Bertha's looking a little bit weirder.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've learned from experience. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I'm not sure we want to know.
No.
That's funny.
But yeah, so those are some things to not do at a wedding and keep in mind. Yeah.
So I always have this question on what not to do. What about kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Nowadays, it's going to be more and more the common thing, just like at a straight wedding where you get asked, you know, at the minute you turn around mm-hmm. from saying your vows, well, when's the baby coming? I'm sure at gay and lesbian weddings, yeah. It's now going to be a thing too. Because you're like, okay, when, you know, which one of you is going to carry the baby? Oh, are you going to have a surrogate? And you're just quizzing them on their plan for having kids. A, not all couples want to have kids, whether they're straight or gay. And B, the wedding is about the wedding, not about the plan to have the family. So let's right. save that conversation for another day.
Well, you went right to that one. I was wondering about kids at the wedding.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it yeah. going to be on the invitation? Kids are welcome. Or, you know, like, for instance, Marianne's niece will be getting married next year, right? Next March. Mm-hmm. And we got the save the date card recently. And it was addressed to Marianne, myself, and our soon-to-be 10-year-old daughter. So that was a clue.
Right. Yeah. Like, but yeah, invitations always have a place where you put how many, and some even break it down, how many adults, how many kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the LGBT community.
Oh, sorry. It's important for the couple to put, you know, maybe adult only, or, and I'm not sure how you can word that to where it's friendly, but, you know, some people would prefer kids to not be at their wedding, especially right. if there's alcohol. You know, they don't want to be drinking and then have kids around,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Some couples will definitely note on their invitation if they're providing childcare at the
right,
wedding.
Right.
So they'll let parents know that there will be an area with activities and such, and that's really helpful.
Our last know. Connecticut Expo, I went to the. I was the one on staff for that. They had it was a you know it was an independent venue, mm-hmm. right? It was like a standalone venue. They had the neatest kids room, and it was for weddings. Like this venue was majority time was reserved for weddings. They had the best kids room in the back. I was like, I would so be there. They had all kinds right. of like. Old arcade games to new arcade games.
So, like, as a wedding guest who happens to be an adult, you're still back there.
Oh, yeah, playing. I would be so back there yeah. playing. I mean, they had the, you know, the ping pong table. They had, I mean, it was just
wow.
so well done. They even had, like, a built-in, like, little bar area that you could cater just to the kids back there. And
I'll have a Shirley Temple on the rocks.
Well, that was a good food, silly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or no, for the big kids, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they had, like, the pizza spot, and they had the ice cream sundae section, you know, and stuff like that. So they had it really, they did it really well for, like, the kids. I thought, that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah that is fun.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. But, yeah, there'll be plenty of weddings. I was just thinking of LGBT families where... We're just growing our family so much that it's going to come up, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah sure, so. Sure. One other thing I know not to do at the wedding is you don't go up and ask the couple, well, so who's the bride and who's the groom?
Right.
As if, you know, a gay couple or a lesbian couple fits into that traditional type role. You know, they're both the grooms. They're both the brides. You know, some lesbian brides don't want to be called a bride, per se, but... You don't ask, okay, who's the butch and who's the femme? You know, that's rude.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or who's wearing pants at the wedding if it's two women? You know, no.
Oh, yeah.
You don't ask that. So that's a good tip on what not to do. On the other side of it, I do think it's okay, though, to ask certain questions, especially, you know, if it's really pertinent. And, of course, there's many, you know, plenty of ways to do it respectfully. For instance, if you're giving a toast at the wedding and you don't quite know how the couple wants you to address them in the toast.
Right.
You know, like, am I saying Mr. and Mr.? Or, you know, are you taking each other's names? Or should I just call you the happy couple? Or just use your first name? You know, that's totally okay to ask.
Right.
So that is a what to do, especially if you're in a position of giving a toast or something like that.
And it's crazy Uncle Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also good to consider, and a lot of people may already know this or think about this, but sometimes you don't. If you're bringing a guest, just ensure there's been some sort of conversation about whether or not they have specific views on gay weddings or gay marriage, because the last thing couples want to hear or do or deal with the day of their ceremony is someone who doesn't agree with gay marriage and feels the need to be at the ceremony and express their views. So you should be very conscious when you're having guests, be it a girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever you're bringing with you to the ceremony. You want to make sure that that is a topic that's covered in advance.
Because that'll be a lot of alcohol drinking if not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alcohol can make that situation much worse, too.
And they'll be the one stuck next to Aunt Harriet. Yeah. That wouldn't go over well. All right. Sounds good.
Was there anything else anybody wanted to add about what not to do?
I think we covered the highlights.
Okay, awesome. Well, our last segment for today's podcast will be making your wedding as environmentally friendly as possible. We'll That's be right back to talk about that. Another proud sponsor of today's podcast is the Westin Riverwalk Hotel, San Antonio, Texas. Located on the banks of the romantic San Antonio Riverwalk, the Westin offers a quieter, intimate ambiance with the warmth of the Spanish colonial influence. Awarded AAA's Ford Diamond Award and named to Condé Nast Traveler's Gold List as one of the world's best places to stay, the Westin Riverwalk features a fourth-floor outdoor pool and recreation area overlooking the Riverwalk and houses premier artwork, collectibles, and antiques from Mexico and South America. The Westin Riverwalk features two enchanting ballroom locations for weddings of all sizes, including such amenities as outdoor terraces, floor-to-ceiling windows, mahogany or wrought iron chandeliers, and much more. With a professional and experienced staff ready to help create your dream ceremony, the Westin Riverwalk in San Antonio is the ideal place for your wedding reception. Proud host location of the 2016 and 2017 Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expos, the Westin invites you and your partner to reach out for a site visit. We can't wait to meet you. All right, and we are back with our third segment of today's podcast. Again, it's Marianne with Rainbow Wedding Network, Cindy, Ira, Lauren, and now we have Lauren's young son, Harden, so you may hear him in the background as well with some fun baby coos. But our last segment today is how to make your wedding as eco-friendly as possible.
Love it.
Going green, of course, is very important to today's couples, and some more so than others, so we thought we'd give you a variety of tips as you plan your wedding and reception. We're going to talk about dessert items and catering, invitations, transportation, apparel, jewelry, favors. So we're going to cover a lot of ground today. It's going to be a lot of interesting information. I look forward to hearing what everybody has to offer. First of all, I would like to talk about desserts and catering.
Because that is really close to your heart, desserts.
Desserts is very close to my heart. Yes.
It's close to all our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot you can do, obviously, when you're talking to your caterer or your bakery and planning your dessert items as well as the food that you want to have served at your reception. You know, one thing, of course, is to just chat with your baker. I'm going to just start with bakeries in particular. To chat with them about what they offer in terms of being eco-friendly and see where the conversation begins there. But obviously, bakers can use organic ingredients and go local whenever possible, which is important in terms of supporting local growers, but going local, as we all know, also impacts the environment less because those fruits or vegetables or other ingredients are not being transported across the country or across the world just to get to you. So you do have much less of an impact on the environment by going local. And going organic, of course, has less environmental impact with regard to no fertilizers and all that kind of thing in the environment. So those are some easy ways to think about being eco-friendly with regard to your desserts. Going local can also help you get away from inordinate amounts of packaging.
Yes.
For instance, by going to your local farmer's market, if you are making any of the food items at your wedding or reception, and you need butter or eggs or cheese or flowers that you might use that are edible to decorate cakes and that kind of thing, you might not run into any packaging at all. So
that's right.
That's another easy way to be eco-friendly.
That also saves on transport, too, for vehicles transporting those
And
goods.
It's just yummy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So much more flavorful.
Way more flavorful.
And a lot of bakers nowadays do keep these things in mind.
Right.
So, like I said, it's good just to have that conversation and see where everybody stands on the subject. Going vegan with your wedding cake is definitely an option, and a lot of people don't realize how flavorful vegan cakes can be. Mm-hmm. And textures now, people are so much more experienced with cooking vegan and baking vegan that the texture of the cake can be totally wonderful and fine, and a lot of people wouldn't even realize it was a vegan cake. Going vegan is a great eco-friendly choice because of the lower impact with regard to animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, farming animals in our country is not always extremely environmentally friendly process. So if you go vegan, obviously, that's a great eco-friendly choice. And not only are you supporting environmental health, you're supporting animal rights too. And along these same lines is committing to fair trade ingredients, which again, many bakers keep in mind when they're mm-hmm. choosing to buy ingredients. For instance, like if your cake includes coffee or chocolate or nuts or even sugar, sometimes, and sometimes fruits like bananas that are being imported, a lot of times there are ways to make sure they're grown and harvested with fair trade agreements. So that's, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. If you are having cupcakes,
love cupcakes.
Cindy's ready to learn about this one.
I am.
If you're having cupcakes at your reception, consider baking them without wrappers, because the wrappers, of course, help people hold them, and maybe you feel like they're less sticky on the fingers. But if you want to commit to being eco-friendly,
wrapperless
cupcakes are definitely a way
to
go.
On that one.
And you know, some couples who are really committed to being green put up little signs at the wedding reception that say, you know, we're committed to being green, and it just helps people understand to look for those things and to be respectful and to honor them.
So don't freak out when there's no cupcake wrappers around your cupcakes if you see
the sign. It sounds better that way, because I just want to eat the cupcake. I don't want to take the time to pull off a wrapper.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
I know.
It just saves time.
I did want to mention some of the ideas that I came across today are from our friends at greenweddingslices.com, so you can check them out for other eco-friendly ideas. And I also invite you to check out bellacupcakecouture.com.
No wrappers on their
cupcakes. Because they make edible cupcake wrappers.
Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
They also offer very elegant or very trendy cupcake wrappers that are printed with soy inks on recycled linen paper.
Love it.
Wow.
So definitely check them out again online at bellacupcakecouture.com.
My new favorite place in the world.
Yeah. Another thing you can do to be eco-friendly with your desserts is to, you know, very simply ask that your cake or cupcake stand be one that can be reused rather than being disposable. Or if you want to check into whether or not it's been made from recycled materials, you know, that's just an easy way to be less impact on the environment. And you can consider topping your wedding cake with eco-friendly items, such as all organics like edible flowers, stylized or candied fruits. Sugar sculptures that are edible can be so artistic and customized, so you can go a long way with that idea too. And not only does it impact the environment less right then and there, it also impacts the environment less because you don't have the plastic cake topper sitting around in your home for, you know, the next 50 years, and then what happens to it eventually. So, you know, by keeping everything edible, you're definitely more committed to the eco-friendly ideas.
Love it.
Yeah. Other desserts, of course, if you're having pie at your wedding instead of cake or candy or another type of sweet treat, many of these suggestions still apply. And also keep in mind the choice that you do have with regard to plasticware.
Yes.
And paper cups. Some people think that the dishwashing that occurs when you're staying away from plasticware, so you're having real plates, you're having real forks, you're having real cups. Some people will say, hey, the dishwashing impact on the environment is just as high as if I have the plastic knives and spoons and paper plates. So you have to weigh that for yourself. Talk to your caterer or baker about their thoughts, and you can make those decisions accordingly.
Or eco-friendly
Or there
paper
is now
items.
Eco-friendly plates that are made out of bamboo.
Bamboo, yes.
So you can look into that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caterers. It's really heartening to know when I searched eco-friendly caterers online for this podcast today, so much came up. So many companies were committed to being eco-friendly. So you saw like individual catering companies from all across the country and across the world talking about how they're eco-friendly. So that was really exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, lots of what I just mentioned for desserts applies to caterers too. Many caterers compost. Many of them are choosing to use energy-saving appliances. Some of them are able to find ways to donate unused food to local nonprofits whenever that's possible. One caterer that I found out online outlined their policies really thoroughly, and I just thought I'd share those with you before we move on to the next subject, because it was just so interesting to me to see how far they are taking this idea of being eco-friendly. So this is online from our friends at EcoCaterers.com, EcoCaterers.com. Local organic catering that's available in California, Virginia, and Maryland. So what their policies include is they buy organic food bought directly from local farms. In addition to organic catering, they try to minimize their impact on the earth by composting, using the compost to grow their own organic herbs and vegetables. They also use hybrid cars for delivery.
Wow.
They reuse scrap paper. They refer their clients to other green-minded vendors. They never waste any food. And although they consider themselves extremely environmentally conscious and waste very little, they believe they can always do more. That is why they have plans to build out a completely green kitchen in every city in which they work and offer catering And they are committed to purchasing biodiesel vans for delivery, running off their own used vegetable oil. And they're also committed to going 100% paperless. They are also involved in community projects that will plant organic gardens throughout the states in which they work.
I love them.
And continue to educate the public, not just their clients, but the public in general, about growing and eating organic food. So that is how far some caterers are taking this thing.
Love it.
As a wedding couple, you can decide how far you want to take it and go from there.
Oh my gosh, that is so fantastic.
It is very exciting.
That is very exciting. And I'm with you. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about invitations and favors and photography. And I was the same way when I started doing my research. I was like blown away by how much is out there. I was thinking I'm going to have to kind of really start digging, you know. No,
yeah.
It was just
right there.
An abundance. So I'm like,
awesome.
Yeah, like, this is fantastic. And I was thinking about invitations, and think about how many paper products are just that you use for your weddings when it comes to, like, you have the save the date cards, you have the invitation, you have the map. You have the
envelopes.
You have the RSVP card. You have the table seating card.
I mean, think about how many people get married. How many weddings do we have every year just in the United States alone? I don't know what that number is.
It was a lot.
And you add up the paper products and you think about how many trees that is.
Yes. There was a stat, and I wish I'd written it down, was how many bags of trash.
Ooh.
It was a lot. It was a lot of bags of trash that are generated because of just the number of weddings that there are every year. So I was like, man, there is a lot of paper products, right, that you have to use just to spread the word that you're getting, or, you know, just to send out your invitations, and you have your table seating, you have your program, if you're going to do a program, then you have your thank you cards, your thank you envelopes, all this kind of stuff.
And some couples, when they choose to go digital with, like, e-invites, kind of get a hard time about it.
Right.
But it's like, we should be supporting them.
Yes. You know? I mean, and they were talking about, you know, a wedding website is a great way to have a lot of that information right there for your attendees. You know, the map to the ceremony if the reception is a different place, or a place where they can RSVP, or, you know, you can do digital invites. And, yeah, people are getting a bad rap over that, but we need to stop that. If you really want to go, no, I need a paper product. There are, thankfully, so many. That was the other thing I was blown away with, the amount of recycled paper products that you can use. There are some treeless papers that you can use.
Oh, nice.
You know, you have to, you know, do a little research and make sure you, you know, find a company where you can get that done. But so if you, you know, you could do a little bit of both was what my thought was. You know, why can't we do a little bit of both?
Well, just that bit from everyone will go so far.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And things I found with, like, just different options instead of having the table, you know, place card, the seating charts, and you're going to find yourself in the reception, right? I saw these adorable little potted herbs, you know, that had a little piece of recycled paper that had your name on it, so you got to take that as a favor, because right. That's my next segment, is the favors, is the eco-friendly favor, is, you know, you can do that instead of having just a piece of paper that's not a recycled piece of paper. So you can dress it up with some eco-friendly favors as well. And there's so many, oh my goodness, type of different favors out there that are eco-friendly. That you can have from little trees, little seedlings of trees that you can have. I found some that were in like a, this goes a little extreme. There were some that were in like a lovely recycled cardboardy kind of bag, and there was a little seedling in there. So you take that home with you, and you can plant that in your, you know, in your yard, if, or it can be an herb that you can plant, you know, in your garden. I saw some that were mason jars, you know, that are filled with dirt and a little either herb or seedling that people take home as a favor. What else did I find? Oh my gosh. Oh, and you can also, if you really did want to do some sort of like printable invitation or something like that, it can be a plantable. So they're seeds, right? So after the wedding, after they've come to your wedding, they can take that home and they can plant that. And grow some wildflowers or something. Like, there are so many plantable types of papers out there. Everything from heart-shaped confetti that you can use if you're having an outdoor wedding or a garden wedding that you can toss, you know, that people can toss on you when you're leaving your wedding. That can be either somehow scooped back up and put into a, you know, into a garden area, or Just let it go. Let it just compost itself right there. There were so many different types of plantable products. Another fun thing, too, instead of using flower arrangements like at your tables, a lot of flowers, of course, have been chemically treated.
Right. So that,
you know, if you really do want to do an eco-friendly wedding, that's pretty simple. Saw some beautiful, again, herbs, arrangements that are done that can be put on the tables
instead of flowers. Gotcha.
And then again, those could either go home with somebody, or you can take them home and plant yourself a lovely, beautiful herb garden.
Wouldn't that be fun from the wedding to have herbs that were there?
Yeah,
yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, and they were gorgeous. And like, yeah, I saw some in like a silver bucket. I mean, yeah, that's not so much eco-friendly, but you know, they were really nicely arranged, where somebody doesn't just think, oh, that's just a bunch of herbs on the table.
That's a gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, so your guests could take one, or like I said, I thought the idea, my goodness, what a, If you're maybe you and your new spouse, you know, maybe you're going to buy a home afterwards, you want to take these back and create yourself an herb garden. You have that for a long time. That's really awesome. Of course, as well, you can choose, you can include having your guest donate to a charity instead of traditional wedding gifts.
Yeah, they could donate to a tree farm to build trees because you chose to have, you know, some paper invitations. So you could, like, make it a zero balance.
Exactly.
In that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, because do we need another toaster?
Right.
Or, you know, an iron?
Well, a lot of couples now are having registries where people donate, A, to a charity.
Right.
Or B, to an experiential gift. Yes. So, you know, mm-hmm. they're buying the ropes course getaway.
Right.
Because they're going to Hawaii and they get to have the ropes course that was paid for by Uncle Tom and Aunt Bertha.
Yeah.
So,
and that's awesome because that does cut down. You know, it's not something that's been packaged in a box with wrapping paper.
Yes.
That's you know, put on the gift table.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. So,
yeah, but inviting people to gift through those ways, whether it is to a charity or an experience or what have you, is awesome to save so much packaging.
And you can even include I mean, I don't know how touchy this could be, but you could include that you are having eco-friendly weddings. So remember that if you're even buying us a card, mm-hmm. you know, can you find one that's recycled or that sort of thing?
Yeah, so, you could put mm-hmm. that on your invitation. We mm-hmm. request no cards. This is an eco-friendly wedding.
Also, so, like wedding favors, which was so awesome, was like a little jars of local honey.
Aww.
You know.
How fun is that?
Yeah. And those were used as the table, you know, seating. And it was just like this little jar of honey that had the guest name on it.
Sweet!
And that's where you sit down, is in front of your cute little jar of honey.
Aww. You can have the cutest little saying, like, meant to be. Or something.
I love it.
Or life is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
And, of course, if you're going to do anything like this where it's, you know, a little bit different, it's all about the packaging, meaning it's all about the presentation.
Right.
That you do. If it is the herbs on the instead of the flowers, it's all about how it's presented, right? Mm-hmm. And that right there can set the tone and make it as lovely as if you were to have the big bouquet of flowers that have been chemically treated and toted across the world to get there.
Well, you could even have something as favors like a basket of bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
That people could take away and plant. And bulbs, when you look at them, can be rather ugly.
Right.
But you can present that in a way that's beautiful.
Exactly.
And give people an eco-friendly way, like a bandana, to wrap it up in, to take it home. And that way, every single wedding guest is planting the same type of bulb in their garden, and it just sort of connects the circle of guests, and, you know, they grow something beautiful from this wedding day, you know. So, I mean, something is, I don't know, not beautiful looking as a flower bulb can be made into an amazingly wonderful favor.
Yeah,
so just get creative.
Exactly. And the last thing I was going to talk about is photography. You know, we've just, with the day and age of digital, mm-hmm. You know, we've been digital mm-hmm. for quite some time now. So that right there, you know, cuts down on chemicals and paper and all the things that, you know, us old school photographers had to do. When we were with our photographs, and now, of course, too, and I don't know a photographer who doesn't do this, but has the online proofs,
right?
You know, that saves so much in regards to paper and chemicals and all of that. So you and your family, the wedding couple and their family and friends, can go online, look at all the proofs,
and just order
and
as they
order
want,
directly.
So there's
yes.
not too many. Ordered, yeah.
Exactly, and order directly from the photographer. Of course, you can also ask, this is the other thing too, you can ask when you're talking about your caterer and your dessert company, is just ask photographer, I mean, do they, what do they incorporate in their business for eco-friendly? Do they use recycled batteries, you know, in their cameras and all this? So there's different ways that photographers try to incorporate to be eco-friendly, and there's all kinds of stuff online that you can go and find that, so.
Those are great. I love those ideas.
I know. I'm stuck on the mason jar. I mean, the little jar of honey.
I know.
That is a great
precious. Fabulous.
We love honey.
Yeah. Yes.
One thing I might add to that as well is when you're setting up a wedding webpage or even with a photographer who's using a central source like that, you can also choose environmentally friendly hosting companies.
Wow.
Right.
that, you know, use renewable energy.
So dig deep. You're digging deep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
We've got Ira choked up over here.
Excuse me, everyone. That cough
when you talk about hosting companies and servers, Ira gets all emotional.
I just get so excited when we get technical.
He's our tech guy around here, so he was tearing up over the environmentally friendly hosting company.
They can all see it on my face right now. Another great thing to talk about in the technical realm is choosing transportation for your ceremony or for your guest from your ceremony to your reception that is going to be a little more environmentally conscious. And you can even make decisions that are relatively simple. If you're lucky enough to have guests who are coming locally, choose a venue that's centrally located. For the transition between the ceremony and the reception venue, you can bus guests, so not everyone's using their car, so you can cut back on that carbon footprint right there by hiring shuttles to bring guests to the reception. And you can also choose, there may not be quite as numerous as caterers, but there are transportation companies who do offer more environmentally friendly options for transportation for your event. So those are some things to consider. And as for you and your partner when you're transitioning, you can also consider some fun and unique and often memorable transportation options for your reception. One I ran across that was kind of fun was a rickshaw. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, you may see them on documentaries in more of the Asian nations where you have, it's kind of like a three-wheel bicycle where someone's pedaling and bringing you to and to the reception and the little rickshaw. It's often covered to protect you from the elements, so you can remember that. So that is another option there as well. And excuse me, I'm getting a little choked up again. Those were the fun options. And another option was using the Segway. And I've seen this done at several weddings.
Oh, Lord, I would kill myself.
I know.
My wife would be married and then a widow. A widower or whatever it would be right there on the spot. I would so wipe out on a Segway. That would not be pretty.
That is my thought, too.
I would love it.
She would love it. I would be dead.
A very fun option, but you also want to consider balance is key.
Balance?
You're not going to want to lean in if you see these weddings gone wrong videos. Bride gets a little too comfortable leaning forward. Well, that creates motion. That's telling the Segway to move.
Ooh.
You flip. So you're going to want to be a little careful.
Man, that wedding dress would be above your head.
If you did do anything like that, even just getting into a horse and carriage, you have to practice with the wedding gown, with the high heels on.
Okay, I'm really going to be the Debbie Downer and caution the Segway thing.
Yeah.
I love the idea.
I definitely recommend caution and choosing that, especially with flowing clothing, getting a little too comfortable. You're not going to want to stand on the Segway during your ceremony. That's going to end in a disaster. That would just, it has happened.
Exit.
If you Google, you can
I need to have a quick exit just in case.
Another option, and this is thinking more about In terms of caution, more about when you've maybe changed clothing at the church and you're thinking about going to or whatever your venue is, after you've changed into more comfortable clothing, you could ride bicycles or a tandem bike.
I may not die
like
that way.
To show up at your reception on a tandem bike. And so that's, again, a little more local option. You don't want to be traveling great distance with that. Or if you're lucky enough to have a waterway or waterways, maybe if you're in a location in Florida or some other areas where you have waterways connecting the venues, you could always show up in a rowboat.
Aww.
You know, you've got mm-hmm. the little romance of that. And as Marianne mentioned, the horse and carriage, because that is a little romantic option that's also a little more environmentally friendly. And also, another thing I was going to mention, Cindy mentioned earlier too, is just offsetting some of the impact of your wedding by recommending that guests do donate to a charity or organization that's going to give back and make changes in terms of being a little more environmentally conscious.
And if you hear the thunderstorms, we're about to have a big one outside.
Yeah.
The environment is rumbling in our segment. So
environment is
if you hear the girls
now.
Scream, it's because we just got hit with a big bolt of lightning.
That was rough.
Natural electricity.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're being environmental.
While I'm on my Segway.
Yeah.
I love it.
So one thing that I was looking into for the eco-friendly wedding tips is outfits. So this can go with your wedding dress or your wedding suit and the bridesmaids' dresses and the groomsmen's suits or, you know, whatever anyone's going to wear. So look for local and handmade. Some good fabrics, organic cotton, bamboo, organic all-natural dyes, hemp fabrics, and, you know, peace silk. And peace silk, it's like, you know, P-E-A-C-E, silk, is all about saving the silkworm.
Yay!
Yay!
Yes, I did not know that in order, so for silk, or a lot of silk companies will kill the silkworms while they're in their cocoons so they can get as much silk as they can. And peace silk is they remove the silk without killing the silkworm. So the silkworm can...
See, I was telling you that this was important.
I love that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would not have thought that... I just wouldn't have thought that silkworms needed to be killed to make the silk. So if I ever need silk, I'm going to make sure it's peace silk.
Yes.
Yeah, and then some other ideas. So look for vintage or used outfits. And then when you're done with your outfit, recycle it or donate it. Or, you know, you can use the fabric to make something else. You can make some pillows or any kind of curtains, something that can be in your home as well. And also vegan. So for your shoes or anything, you know, maybe think about a leather alternative if you wanted, you know, I know when I worked in the Western industry, a lot of people wanted cowboy boots with their wedding, but maybe look at something that's not leather to help save the animals. And for jewelry, you know, make sure it's ethical. So, and really that goes with everything. You know, you want to make sure that who's making it? Where did this come from? Is it a sweatshop, you know, or are kids making this? So think about who made it, where is it coming from, and think about all of the little details as well. So for your diamond and your ring, how was it mined? Who mined it? Is it a blood diamond?
Right.
So you want to make sure that it was gotten ethically, and that's with the gold as well. Some ideas that I personally, my husband and I did this, we recycled jewelry for my wedding ring. So he bought a vintage engagement ring. And then for my wedding band, I had some old jewelry that we actually got melted down, made into a band to fit the ring. And we used diamonds from some other jewelry that I had. So think about that too, especially if you have maybe some family jewelry or anything that you feel comfortable getting changed. So it still has the sentimental value. It just might fit your taste a little better.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are some things that I had found in my research. And, you know, these are things, too, that are good for just everyday, not just weddings, you know,
absolutely,
everyday things.
I think it goes back to kind of what we were talking about with the whole, in the beginning, about how the why and how we can, with the days of the internet, you know, we're able to do so much more research.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like you were saying, just that little bit of research, there was so much out there. And it's like, okay, I could even do that. You know, I could even implement 5-10 things easy without a lot of, with really not a lot of thought and work, just having it right there. Oh, yeah, okay, let's think about this instead of this.
It's also getting to be more accepted. I remember 20 years ago saying to people, I want vegetarian shoes. And they would just laugh at me.
Right, right.
You know, I want a vegetarian football. They would laugh. You know, and nowadays people get it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a lot more information, a lot more acceptance, and you're not alone either.
Right.
As we see from, you know, what I mentioned with the caterer. What you see with other couples, if you search Pinterest for eco-friendly weddings and other couples doing what they're doing, there's
so much
information and support, and that's wonderful. And as you mentioned, you can stretch that well beyond your wedding. to everyday life. And if we all do a little bit, it does have a major impact. Absolutely.
Yes. I love the save the silkworm and the edible cupcake holder, and I'm going to be stuck on Segways for a while.
We're going to get Cindy on a Segway tour.
Yeah. Give it a try. Well, great information this podcast, everybody.
That was awesome. That was a good, that was lots of details there.
Yes. Good Thanks job. For all your information and hard work putting it together. So we invite you listeners to definitely check us out online, rainbowweddingnetwork.com. Was launched over 16 years ago. We've got a lot more great resources on the website for you. And our sister site, samelovesamerights.com. There are links on both of those sites with regard to our full event calendar of our tour of LGBT wedding expos and our social media accounts as well. So you can like us on Facebook, join the conversation on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. So check us out online. Instagram, of course, is getting big with us as well. And you can always choose to donate to help the podcast continue to go strong and to help our other resources as well continue to grow. And we appreciate your involvement. Again, rainbowweddingnetwork.com.